This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Justin Herbert here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
To what do you attribute your success so far?
How about that connection? Get used to it. Herbert to Keenan Allen.
A great coaching staff that has helped me. I think we've done a great job of working footwork and timing.
Earlier on the show, host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Coming up, ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky. Plus, from the CBS comedy Bob Hart Sabashola, actor Billy Gardell, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air here. Top of hour number two, we've got already a conversation with Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk in the books. Dan Orlovsky is going to be joining us from ESPN to give us his two cents on what we saw last night from Mitchell Trubisky and yesterday. Late afternoon from Tom Brady, two quarterbacks that are coming off of losing Sundays, to say the least. Matt Nagy just delivering quite a soliloquy today in his presser, talking about his group needing more personal pride and having some freaking respect, self-respect. I mean, my gosh, talk about, you know, delivering messages through the media and what that would actually mean. So we'll get that those sound bites prepared. Dan Orlovsky going to be joining us also to talk about the Lions firing their coach and Matt Patricia. And I know he has been a, again, we came up with the phrase just last hour, standing for Jim Caldwell, right? as I did on Twitter and got hosed. I mean, just lit up.
They came at you, huh?
That's definitely not an understatement. TJ Jefferson. So he'll be joining us on that front. Before we do, though, a couple items lost in our first hour of conversation. Cleveland Browns are 8-3. Let's just keep not talking about them. Let's just keep not talking about them.
They would prefer that, probably, right?
Let's just keep not talking about them.
Crazy.
What was Jarvis Landry's stat line yesterday? Juice was squeezing, man, in the state of Florida.
And Nick Chubb doing his thing.
That's it. And Baker Mayfield, I don't think he threw an interception yesterday, did he? You want to look that one up? I don't think he did. And if he didn't, that's four straight games in his career without a first time four straight games in his career without an interception.
Jarvis Landry, 8 for 143 yards.
And what about Mayfield? You got him in that game in that box score? I mean, he was terrific. The Cleveland Browns are 8-3.
Baker Mayfield, 19 of 29, two touchdowns, zero interceptions.
There you go.
116 passer rating.
Right. And you're dressed again as Cam Newton coming off a victory.
Cam Newton, less than 100 yards passing, less than 10 completions, W.
Oh, this is your take on the way. Is what you're wearing, is that Sarah's?
No, I actually went to a department store.
Did you really?
In Los Angeles yesterday.
And you bought this?
And found a $10 blanket. Cut a hole in the neck.
Is that really what that is?
That's a blanket.
Oh, yeah. This is the closest I could come to that.
I can imagine Cam did not go to a blanket store. Although that does look like
that's
a rug.
Like a that he cut like a rug. That looks it like does. A carpet.
Cutting a rug, different phrase.
The best I could do.
I'm with it, Brockman. I'm with it.
Chris Brockman cutting a rug today.
Thank you, TJ.
And then before we get to Dan. How about those Dallas Cowboys?
We could skip this.
No, we cannot.
This is days old. This is days old.
We definitely cannot.
We cannot.
We could just move past.
No, sir.
How about them Cowboys?
We can pretend, treat this like it never happened.
I mean, that was dreadful. That was truly an unacceptable Thanksgiving performance. This just, I know hosts and shows like this format talk about embarrassment. Disaster, unacceptable. What are some of the other words that we've heard?
Shameful.
Shameful, right.
Shame.
Disgraceful. Shame. That's the one. Disgrace. A disgrace.
What a disgrace. But come on.
Beachfront property, Thanksgiving, coming off of that win in Minnesota. Here comes Washington football team into town. Come on now. Come on now. This is the team that knocked your quarterback silly. Come on now. And I know their offensive line got banged up, but, you know, Zeke fumbling again. Fourth and inches, your own side of the field. What are we going to do? And I know Zeke fumbled, but he still makes $90 million back there. That's why you got him off of the beach in Mexico to pay him all that money. Give it to him, for crying out loud. Sneak it. No, let's be cute and throw it. What? And don't even throw it at Amari Cooper. I mean, what? And then when your defense comes up with a pick six, and great play by Terry McLaurin, by the way. I mean, it wasn't like DK Metcalf going the whole length of the field, but he didn't give up, and Jalen Smith got tackled, and that cost 4 points. That was the difference as well after the pick six and the three and out. It's 20-16, and your defense on that three and out forces a punt. And then you punt yourself, and you fake it. And I know Jerry Jones said that, you know, this was a maneuver because things were not going their way and they need to do something, shake up, or I'm paraphrasing here. It was 2016. And then the play, look, when you go fake punt and it doesn't work, it very rarely looks pretty. This was particularly ugly. Particularly ugly. And then Dalton throws a pick six to a lineman. I mean, it's just dreadful. Just absolutely positively awful. And if they lose, even if the Eagles lose tonight, Dallas is in last place. And here I thought that they had the best roster and they were going to come off of that win in Minnesota, win on Thanksgiving, take on a Ravens team that's definitely banged up and start getting some wind behind their backs. This thing's, I mean, I don't see it. I don't see it at all. I see terrible coaching decisions. I see insignificant decisions become completely huge, just like previous years. And I see mistakes. Just terrible.
There is less pie.
Yeah, there's going to be less.
No pie.
I mean,
the only thing I'll say is,
I felt for you, brother, on Thanksgiving.
You know, having Marcus Paul pass away a few days ago, previous to the game, I'm sure that kind of weighed on them. But you're right. A lot of the mistakes that they made on the field, a lot of the play calls, you can't attribute that.
I appreciate you bringing that up. You're talking about the strength and conditioning coach who passed away and the manner in which he apparently it happened at the facilities. We know when he had to be taken to the hospital. It's terrible. It's awful. And, you know, and they were thinking of him and playing with the proverbial heavy hearts.
We've all been there.
It's 2016. And that fake punt was a terrible idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it made no sense to call it the way they called it in the play. You know, where
from our own 24.
Do you think when a gunner starts, you know, going behind a punter, that something's up? I mean, what sort of play call was that?
You can say that about five times a game with this team. It's
honestly,
unbelievable.
I don't get any of it. And then, but I'll just say this, and then we'll get. Is Dan Orlovsky is going to be joining us? He's calling in. All right. I'll just say this too, because you got to give credit to the other team. Washington football team, Alex Smith is beginning to feel really comfortable. He's making some good throws. He's cutting down on some of the mistakes, even though he threw one right to Jalen Smith. Antonio Gibson, I hope you started him, right? You started him?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Last guy to score three touchdowns on the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day was Randy Moss.
I've heard of him.
Okay. Yeah. McLaurin is a one. McLaurin's a number one.
Yeah.
He's really good. Kid who used to play quarterback for Virginia Tech, Logan Thomas. How's he looking? Right? And then defensively. Number of times that they sniffed out whatever the Cowboys were going to run and just cut the yak down in 2 seconds flat, and the number of times that Chase Young was blowing stuff up. How about we don't put a tight end on him? How about that? Oh, my gosh.
Right.
Okay, so here we go. I mean, Washington football team moving forward, they got a game against Pittsburgh and then a game at San Francisco, home for Seattle, home for Carolina, at Philadelphia. They got a way to go. But you can't sit here and say they can't.
I hate to say it. They look good.
Is Dan Orlovsky on the phone line?
Yes, he is.
As promised, from the worldwide leader in sports, he will be on NFL Live an hour after we are done, 4 Eastern on ESPN later on today, taking the kickoff of the big Monday night finale between Seattle and Philadelphia. Dan Orlovsky here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Dan?
Rich, I'm doing well. It's an honor and a pleasure to be on with you, man.
I appreciate you saying that. Thank you very much. And I really have been enjoying your work on ESPN, and definitely appreciate your opinions on so many items. First up for bids is what we saw last night on Sunday Night Football with the Bears. How in the world does Chicago rectify their quarterback position in your estimation right now, Dan?
Yeah, I think the Bears as an organization are probably looking at a complete overhaul, because Ryan Pace has got to be responsible in some capacity. Listen, he built a lot of good pieces at defense, but he's also built this offense in the selection of Mitchell Trubisky. And then Matt Nagy is in many ways handpicked to not – like, he didn't pick Mitchell Trubisky, but he was handpicked to develop Mitchell Trubisky. And Mitchell might not be obviously Deshaun and Patrick, he hasn't gotten better. And so that has to be pegged on management and coaching, that the lack of development at that position has got to fall on their shoulders. And then for Mitchell, I have said for about almost 2 years now that I think they use him poorly. I don't think they accentuate his skill set. That being said, at the end of the day, he's not good enough. In 2020, with the quarterbacks, the young ones that we have in the NFL right now, Mitchell is not going to be good enough to carry your franchise forward and to be a bona fide winner and legit playoff contender and then Super Bowl champion. So while he's athletic and has a skill set, and I do think hasn't been accentuated, at the end of the day, they're going to have to move on from him. I think it's likely they move on from Matt Nagy from the lack of development and lack of leadership. And I think it's fair to say Ryan Pace, as the general manager and the guy that handpicked him, is going to be on the hot seat as well.
Yeah, I know. There was a shot. NBC's cameras caught Pace in his mask just shaking his head. Kind of was a perfect, image of what's going on with the Bears. And they were 5-1, Dan. I mean, they were five. Was that all just smoke and mirrors and mirage? I mean, how does a team go 5-1 to 5-6 like that?
Their defense was dominant. And they were winning games because of the defense. And so, you know, that's kind of where I always get into it with people when people say, well, defense wins championships. In 2005, it did. Yes, that's not the case anymore. Because of the rules and the understanding of space and how much smarter offensive coaches are and the skill sets of so many different people and the quarterback run game, that doesn't prove to be true anymore. And I thought when they made the move to Nick Foles, I did not think that was the right choice, although I love Nick. And I said, okay, well, if Nick just throws the ball to the right place, they should be decent enough where their defense is going to keep them in every game. And then Nick started to really turn the ball over, and that offense started to slow down. And then that Bears, it just put such a big burden on the defense. And I think the defense is at the point where they're just, this is 3 years now. This is 3 years now of being a championship caliber defense in Chicago and having to go out there and going, if we don't score as a defense and we give up two touchdowns, we're probably going to lose the game. And I think that is just weighing so heavily on their defense.
NFL veteran quarterback now at the Worldwide Leader in Sports from ESPN, Dan Orlovsky here on the Rich Eisen Show. So you're saying that'll be not one but two teams cleaning house in the NFC North, because the Lions did that over the weekend. Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn are out. And that led me to take to Twitter. It essentially pounding the table for something that I know won't happen. But hire Jim Caldwell back and choose a GM who knows him and go to work is what I tweeted out. And I got to tell you, man, I'm used to getting Twitter trolls, but it was more than just trolls that hit me. I got absolutely torched for this take. I know you were there in the Jim Caldwell era in Detroit.
Yeah.
And I think you've said the same exact thing. I might be following in your footsteps, Dan. So you have the floor. Knowing the organization as you do and knowing what Caldwell did there, I'll give you the floor on this subject.
Yeah, I share a lot of the same feelings as you with the situation, and I share the same feeling with Jim Caldwell. My overall overarching view would be this. The Lions organizationally have tried a lot of different things. Over the last, 20 years, they've tried a lot of things. Offensive-minded coaches, defensive-minded coaches, the hot coordinator, all this stuff. Only one of them has worked. Only one coach that they have hired has been successful. Now, Maybe he hasn't climbed all the way to the top of the mountain, but only one guy had the culture right, had the locker room right, had the expectations right, and had the team playing like every single week you believed, all right, the Lions, this is going to be a good game. And if they play the way they're capable of playing, they'll win that football game. And it was trending in the right direction. They had a quarterback in Matthew Stafford in really the prime of his career playing top five, top six football. And so I sit back and I'll go, all right, I know it. Listen, Rich, no one loves smart offensive football more than me. I'm a complete nerd when it comes to that stuff. So I can understand people going, no, you got to get your offensive coach. Really? Because everyone wants Sean McVay. Listen, I was with Sean. He's a unicorn. As great as he is when it comes to his X's and O's, he's a significantly better leader when it comes to organizational kind of galvanizing, foresight, all of the things that are going to be needed to be a great head coach. Sean excels at, and then he's also remarkably good at with the X's and O's. So I caution right now just to go, just find a really good offensive coordinator. No, the Lions need somebody that knows that organization, that knows the ins and outs of what works and what doesn't, knows that city, knows that communication. Now, if Jim Caldwell is available and he wants that job and he tells you, this is my offensive coordinator, I'm going to bring this guy as an offensive coordinator, and he's got a couple of names on the list, and that offensive coordinator runs a scheme or a style and sees football the way it needs to be seen right now in the NFL, then I think that it's very, it's negligent to not sit down and go, someone's got to prove to me that there's a better option than this, because I know this guy can do it. I know that he can get us heading in the right place the same way he did years ago.
So, Dan, I'll push back on the same stuff I got pushed back on. One is that Caldwell was dreadful against teams with winning records. You could count on one hand, apparently, the number of times that a winning record team came in and lost to Caldwell's Lions. And two, maybe he was eight games over 500, did get a couple of wild card appearances, but it's about winning championships, and he wasn't even close to that. So that was the pushback I got.
Okay, so I'll address the first one. Yes, we beat a lot of the kind of average teams and below average teams, and we played with a lot of the good teams, and we were never able to get kind of over that hump. Well, that's also because he was still in building mode. You know, they had just, and I would say this, Martin Mayhew was a guy as an ex-general manager that probably got fired or moved on from, and that was an incorrect move as well, because Martin had started to get some drafts going. Maybe he wasn't the Pittsburgh Steelers when it comes to the drafts, but he was starting to draft better, and it was really in lockstep that they were doing things together. And so I would always tell people this, you know, during my first kind of go-around with the Lions, and people would ask, well, why were you guys so bad? I said, look at our draft. Look at our first-round picks. The first-round picks were miss after miss after miss. So to kind of build your organization and build your program to really start to become a team that consistently beats the good teams, because, again, there's only like six of them in the NFL, that takes time. So I can understand where people are coming from, but that's not something that usually happens on a consistent basis within the first 3 or 4 years of a head coach's role as that in that organization. And then I understand it's about championships. I get all that. But find me the last coach that walked in and just won a championship, that just walked in and goes, okay, first 3 years, I took a perennial basement team over 20 years and I won a Super Bowl with them. Like the Lions fans and their organization have to realize that this has to be stacked and stacked and stacked, and there is no quick fix. That's my point. They tried to have the quick fix. They tried that multiple times. It doesn't work there. It's not going to work there.
Dan Orlovsky here on the Rich Eisen Show. And I guess you can even just, well, obviously, nobody has just Aaron Rodgers sitting around. But the whole narrative of Matt LaFleur is going to have to teach his quarterback a system, or the old leopard is going to have to change his spots. And Aaron Rodgers was grinding gears with Mike McCarthy, and it was just not going to work. Well, 13-3 last year, and now we saw the performance on Sunday night. Why has it worked for Matt LaFleur, in your estimation, in Green Bay, Dan?
Yeah, I think that it's worthy of us putting him into the conversation of one of the better coaches in football right now, and certainly in the running for Coach of the Year. I'd say this, Matt's got a great, you know, I was on the set for Get Up with Greeny the moment that Matt LaFleur got the head coaching job, mm-hmm. and I had history with him in two different places, in Houston and with the Rams. And I had said, this is going to work out perfectly. And Greeny looked at me like, who? Matt LaFleur? What are you talking about? And I said, the best thing is Matt LaFleur will not back down from a strong personality in Aaron Rodgers. He will continue to push him and push back on him in a respectful manner, but in a challenging manner. And I think Aaron's one of those players. We came into the NFL the same year together. He's one of those players that wants to be challenged. He wants to be intellectually challenged. He wants to be challenged with motivation. He wants to be challenged with his ability to fully grasp what the plan is offensively and how to attack certain defenses. And I think the biggest thing that Matt's done is clarify things for him. He's made some stuff easy. You watch that team. It looks a lot like Kansas City. You know, Patrick Mahomes is the greatest talent I've ever seen. There's some stuff there in that offense that is easy for him. It gives him a mental breather. It gives him a physical breather. And I think Matt's done a really good job with that in Green Bay. He knows what they're good at. He knows that Aaron's great at outside the pocket. Well, why? Because he can make throws on the move that other guys can't. It gives him the opportunity to create post-snap a little bit more, that he can move in space a little bit more. And so I think that he's got a really good feel for what they're good at. He doesn't expose them to kind of the deficiencies of their offense. He uses Devontae brilliantly. And I think the big thing is just understanding that Aaron wanted a coach that was going to bring him greatness, like give him the opportunity to be great again. And that's why it's working so well in Green Bay.
So then why isn't it working in Tampa, I guess, Dan Orlovsky from ESPN here on the Rich Eisen Show? I mean, you just mentioned how Mahomes has some easy things. We talk about how elaborate that scheme is in Kansas City, but they also give some easy things. It also helps to give Tyreek Hill one-on-one coverage, as we saw Tampa Bay continuously do in that first quarter yesterday. But it was jarring to me again, Dan, to see Brady in the role of, can he keep pace with the other team's offense? That's been the narrative for Brady on the other foot for 20 years. But they lost that game in the first quarter. It was essentially done right there. What is going on there, and how can it be fixed to make Brady maybe more comfortable in that offense the last few weeks?
Yeah, the best way I can describe Tampa Bay right now is they are so dependent on an incredibly high level and really an unrealistic level of execution. Like, they get 70 snaps, and they have to be so good, all 11 across the board, with their execution that it just challenges their offense and kind of minimizes their level of success. Because I think there's two things in the NFL that has really started to show itself a little bit on the back end of last year, and then it's been dominant this year, that are difference makers for the really good offenses in the NFL. Pre-snap motion, and I'm not just talking about one guy going from one side of the formation to the other. I'm talking like with speed and snapping the ball at the same time, because it creates leverage and angles for blocking and matchups and gives defenses a ton to look at. So you have to do that, and then you have to utilize play-action pass. And the Buccaneers don't do either of that. And so those things really minimize the necessity or the need for a high level of execution, because you're like, oh, well, I got you out in space versus a linebacker. Great. You don't need to be great. You just need to be good enough. And so that's why when I mentioned, like, it minimizes the need for this high level of execution when you do that stuff, and the Buccaneers don't. And so they're just so demanding on everybody on their offense to be just at their absolute best all the time. And that's just really bad coaching. And they're not doing things that Tom Brady is so kind of notorious for. Get to the line of scrimmage. Gronkowski's out there. Oh, there's a corner. Now I know it's zone. Okay, now I've cut half of my thinking, or half the time that I need to think, I've cut in half. And so I think that Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich are just stuck in their ways because they've seen it work before. No, I've seen this work with Carson Palmer or Andrew Luck or Big Ben. I know this offense is good. Well, that might be true, but it's not good right now. You have different people operating it, and they kind of expose themselves to way too many of their weaknesses offensively. Their protection, the deep ball, it happens way too much. The question, can it be fixed? How? They got 12 practices left. You know, like, they got, if it hasn't been fixed or altered since August, it's hard for me to think that over the next 4 or 5 weeks that they're going to remarkably or miraculously change who they are.
Last one for you, Dan, before I send you to the set of NFL Live, and you're taking everybody to kickoff, a part of the coverage of the worldwide leader in sports, taking the kickoff of Monday Night Football between Seattle and Philadelphia. After Philadelphia lost its last game, Dan, the question was once again put to Doug Peterson about his quarterback, Carson Wentz, being the starter, and he basically said he's the starter and said if he turned to Jalen Hurts, that it would indicate to the team that the season is over. And then a few days later, when asked if Carson was, he was still a starter, he said, I would think so. Now we're hearing Hurts took some snaps with the ones over the weekend. What do you expect to see tonight for Philadelphia as both the Washington football team and Giants have already won this week?
Yeah, I think that Carson Wentz will take the great majority of the snaps in this football game. He'll be the starter. I would expect Jalen Hurts to be used in two specific areas, which is something that probably should have been happening more. One, third down and, let's say, under 4 yards. You know, very situationally specific where you can utilize 11-on-11 football. You can kind of add in quarterback run and maybe potentially some RPOs to allow guys out in space. So I think that'll be a little bit more because this team has been bad on third down. And then the second would be very similar in the red zone, where you get down into the red zone and you can play 11-on-11 football. I do believe that they should get Carson Wentz off the field when Jalen Hurts gets on, because if they're going to bring Jalen Hurts on the field and still leave Carson Wentz on the field, you're playing 10-on-11. I have long said that both those guys should be in the backfield at the same time. That's when you can really get creative. That's when you can stress the defense. They haven't done it yet this year. I don't know why, because I think that's been a failure, but they need to play better. Carson needs to be play better. But Jalen Hurts will have his impact, and I think in situational football.
Dan, appreciate the time. Like I said, I appreciate your work. I hope this is the first of many times you appear on the show. When you say when you see Greeny next, tell him I said hi. Tell him that I would feel his pain, but I never thought I would name my children Sam and Darnold, okay, as he once told me. Hang in there. Just got 5 more games to go. That's it. 5 more to go. And then we get to...
That's the best news Jets fans had all year. So I appreciate it. It's an absolute honor, man. Grew up watching you. So anytime, it's a privilege.
I appreciate that, Dan. NFL Live with Dan Orlovsky and the cast of thousands later on ESPN at 4 Eastern. And then Monday Night Football tonight on the Worldwide Leader in Sports. Grew up watching me. Did he say that? You shot me a look.
You know, I was going to ask you about that afterwards.
That's all right.
What is your guttural reaction when you hear a guest or a caller say that to you?
All right. Let's take a break. I'll take my ginseng extract and hit that when we come right back.
Ginseng!
And there is news about the 49ers and where they're going to play. When we come back, Overreaction Monday and more. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with Large Gallery View, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Saved by the Bell, baby. Bayside's back. And Peacock's got them. It's a Peacock original. Started streaming over the weekend. Start streaming the new Saved by the Bell with some familiar faces. That's Mario Lopez. That's Elizabeth Berkeley. Streaming right now on Peacock. Everybody. Okay, we're back here on NBC Sports on Peacock. Great chat with Dan Orlovsky right there. Our radio audience will rejoin us in a matter of moments. Billy Gardell's going to join us in hour number 3. He's one of my favorite humans on the planet. He is a diehard Steelers fan. He is a real big-time football fan, and he is just a delight. He's a delight. And Bob Hartz Abishola, everybody, on CBS. He'll be joining us at in hour number 3, and there's news popping everywhere here in the world of sports, including what just came out of San Francisco, well, I guess out of Santa Clara, The San Francisco 49ers just tweeting out moments ago at 49ers the information that we've been all waiting for over the last several days about where the 49ers are going to be playing their football games in weeks 13 and 14. Santa Clara County, we're back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Santa Clara County, where the 49ers are based, announcing over the weekend that there are new COVID restrictions through December 21st where no contact sports are allowed to practice or play. And apparently, again, Kyle Shanahan mentioned this after his Niners beat the Rams coming off their bye week yesterday. He mentioned how the 49ers learned of this on the flight down. And Mike Florio on hour number one said that the Niners were going to take one last run at Santa Clara County to say, essentially, really? And the answer came back from Santa Clara County, apparently, really. And the 49ers have announced that they are going to Arizona. They are going to Arizona. They will play in the home of the Arizona Cardinals over the next 2 weeks. Arizona, as a matter of fact, interestingly enough, has a home date against the Rams this coming Sunday, but the 49ers game is not until Monday night. So their home date with Buffalo, Monday nighter, week 13 capper, and then their home date with the Washington football team in week 14, two pretty darn big football games for everybody involved. That's currently the division leaders in both conferences' Eastern divisions.
Right.
Those are dates that will be played for Arizona and San Francisco in Arizona, because Arizona's on a road game in week 14. And then I guess maybe San Francisco, maybe the Niners can leave some belongings down there because they're right back to play Arizona in Arizona on the Saturday of Christmas weekend. It was just announced that's part of the triple header of games that are going to be played on the Saturday of week 16. So I guess the 49ers are going to be spending some time in Glendale. Jed York, the owner of the 49ers, tweeting out thanks to Michael Bidwell of the Cardinals just moments ago. So that's the latest on all of that. Now then, what were you going to ask me? You're asking me something?
Yeah, so at the end of our conversation with Dan Orlovsky,
yes,
he said, grew up watching you, big fan, you know, thank you, et cetera, et cetera. And you and I exchanged glances. This has happened more than a few times over the decade we've been doing this together, you and I. And my question for you is, what is your kind of guttural reaction when you hear a guest say, you know, grew up watching you, big fan?
Well, I guess if you heard, I think I made an audible like, something like that.
Right.
All right. So I'll take it as a compliment, because I'm fortunate to have done this long enough.
Legend in the game.
I don't know if I'm on par with Jim Brockmeyer, quite frankly. So, but it kind of does hit me. I looked it up in the commercial break. Dan Orlovsky's 37 years old, meaning when I did my first Sports Center, you could do the math, he was 12. Getting ready for, I'm wondering, his bar mitzvah? I don't know. Is Orlovsky a member of the tribe, member?
I don't know.
Usually I'll reach out to Jeff Schwartz. I think he's the arbiter of who isn't. He would know.
I mean, Rich, in fairness, I grew up watching you. You know what I mean? So it's like, but you only got me by 11 years. So it's not, you know, it's nothing to shit.
I will take it. Especially since, you know, unlike the young buck, Justin Herbert, I look more distinguished and refined with less hair. Correct. Like the anti-Samson. Thank you for laughing at that, guys. I appreciate that. I appreciate you guys laughing at that.
I don't give complimentary laughs either. That was actually fun.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
We're here for you.
You're just not throwing stuff out all willy-nilly is what you're saying. Let's take some phone calls here on the Rich Eisen Show, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll do Overreaction Monday, okay?
Sounds good.
Mike in Pennsylvania, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Mike?
Rich, what's up, buddy?
What's on your mind, sir?
I wanted to check into, first of all, real quick before I jump into the meat and potatoes in my call and start getting angry. I first of all want to thank this show for being here for me for a long time, but mostly it was in the last 4 months. I meant to talk about this on Wednesday, but I had to go for therapy. But I broke my heels. I fell off my roof stack back in the summer. So I work out, walking back and forth in the room, listening to you guys. You guys, like, keep my head out of my butt. Yeah, like when I'm in going through depression because I'm stuck in this nursing facility and we've had the COVID and we're not allowed out of the building and all that kind of stuff. So you guys really keep me going. Mike, can't thank you enough.
Bless you, man. And awesome. I know you're a big Eagles fan and you're concerned about tonight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nobody's brought up Penn State to me yet, which is great. I did see Anthony Adams' tweet in my direction, but it's all good. It's all good.
No.
It's not good. Actually, it's not all good. It's all bad, as a matter of fact.
But. It is. I'm not knocking you at all about the, you know, we're out of the loop when it comes to the race. But I'm talking about the thing that angers me about this playoff selection committee is, because they did the same thing back in 94 when Penn State went undefeated, okay? The first year we joined the Big Ten, we beat Oregon in the Rose Bowl. I'll never forget this. Who do they put above us? The Miami Hurricanes, because they beat Nebraska. Oh, the Miami Hurricanes. And now they're doing the same thing with Ohio State because, because of this virus, screwed everything up. So now they have to cancel the next two games, or supposedly, I guess, or if they say they don't play in the Big Ten championship game or whatever, they're still going to probably put them at number four, right up behind Notre Dame. And
here's the thing, and Mike, thanks for the call. Enjoy your Eagles tonight. Hopefully, they give you a little bit of a boost. Look, I said it. Put eight teams in. Ohio State. They, as you know, Ryan Day has COVID. He's COVID positive. The game against Illinois was canceled. They're not going to be able to, and the Big Ten doesn't make it up. So that's just one game that Ohio State's not going to put out there. And I know Ohio State didn't blow out Indiana. And by the way, the Indiana quarterback, right? Penix Jr., he tore his ACL. Just terrible. Okay, and Northwestern got beat by Michigan State. And I know, you know, Wisconsin lost to Northwestern. And I know that the Big Ten is supposedly down. Big Ten needs to have a representative in those Final Four. I'm sorry. And it should be Ohio State. Look at me standing for Ohio State. Ohio State is an excellent football program. And I'm not just saying that so they don't lay 80 on Michigan in December. Please don't lay 80 on Michigan in December. So that's what I think. I'm sorry. There's really no comparison between who Ohio State is and what Big Ten football is and other programs. That's why they should put eight in. It's ridiculous that we're not talking about let's put eight in and see how it goes and give everybody something to look forward to in this COVID crazy football world. The college football stories over the weekend was this young lady, Sarah Fuller, kicking for Vanderbilt because Vanderbilt has COVID problems with their kicking, and they turned to Sarah Fuller from Vanderbilt's soccer team and said, go for it. And then you saw all the, doesn't Vanderbilt have a men's soccer team? Well, guess what? They don't. I thought it was terrific that they gave her a shot. I know that they couldn't put her in field goal position and her kickoff wasn't, you know, boomed out of the end zone. But the fact that she comes out afterwards and says that she wants to prove to other girls that you can do what you want to put your mind to as a girl dad, that is phenomenal. Phenomenal. Unfortunately, the coach of Vanderbilt's Derek Mason, he got fired.
Yeah, he got fired.
Because of how terrible the offense looked.
Yeah.
And then, so kudos to you, Sarah, who wants to stick with the team as long as they'll have her. And how about this, Chris? What if you are running all over a team? You're running all over a team. Let's just say you have an opportunity to set the record for FBS rushing.
Yep.
Not just in terms of yards in a game, but touchdowns. What if you got that, right? What if your team's running all over somebody and you have that opportunity?
Yep.
And your coach takes you out at the game?
I'm pretty mad. The guy from Buffalo?
Well, God bless Jarrett Patterson,
yeah,
who had an opportunity to set the record for most rushing yards in a game and most touchdowns in a game. He had 409 yards rushing, and he had 8 touchdowns. Okay. Against Kent State, and the coach takes him out. And his backup on the verge of the red zone, if he had gotten all the rushing yards that his backup then got, he'd have set the record and touchdowns because his backup scored a touchdown. Now, I've never talked about Coach Lance Leipold before. If that's his, again, I apologize. I don't know who the coach of Buffalo is or what the coach said he didn't know when he took the kid out of the game.
Didn't know?
Yeah.
How do you not know?
How does somebody not say coach?
Hey, coach, he's only, you know, I forget how many, hey. Like 25 short. Like Samaje Perine has the record, right?
I didn't know of the rushing statistics until I got to the track, I guess, is at the end. I didn't know he had 8 touchdowns. I wish I would have known a little bit. Okay. I know coaches have tunnel vision, but that's nutty. Asked about being removed from the game. He said after the game, Jarrett Patterson, I didn't know about the yards, but man, I was just trying to run out the clock so we can get to the locker room and celebrate with everybody. I'm not really, really too pressed over the records. I know that they will come. It takes everybody. I just wanted to win.
I mean, obviously that's awesome, go, man. Great sportsmanship, but somebody's got to win.
Took
coach
him out.
Now, man. Like,
took him out.
Hey, our guy's 20 yards shy of the record.
Right.
Like, come on.
Like, how do we not run it? Do it. I'm all for team. I'm all for sportsmanship.
Yeah, of course. But you only get so many opportunities to go for something like this.
Like I'm saying, you've done all the work. Finish it up. And when I say like I'm saying, when you've lost 11 games and you're 5 away from Trevor Lawrence.
Everything comes back to this.
Yes. You've done the hard work. The hard work's been done. Yeah. Finish the job.
Right, right.
Do your job.
Yeah, do your job. Lose games.
How did I bring this kid's remarkable football accomplishments all the way back to 0-11? Just the way my mind works.
Mike, do your job.
Thank you.
You have a gift.
Adam Gay says he wasn't calling the plays yesterday, and he's the one who's just relaying the information into the quarterback.
Yeah, right.
So let's hear. No, that's what he's saying. The offensive coordinator's calling the plays, just telling the coach he's the one, because he needs to be the one to get in the coach. And I don't blame him for wanting to get in Sam Darnold's ears.
Well, yeah.
Because this is what he wants. He wants to be in Darnold's ears, and Darnold should have Mims and Perriman and Crowder. That's the plan. That's what they should have, with Frank Gore behind him. That was the whole idea. Get rid of Le'Veon Bell. He's bad news. Get rid of him. We don't need him. Let's run Gore. This is the way it's supposed to go. No touchdowns still. So on top of all of this mishigas, to use the phrase of my childhood from my parents, craziness, nuttiness, silliness, I just went Yiddish. Yes, I did. With all the mishigas that we saw in the 0-10, finally get the quarterback in the 3 wideouts. Still, big, fat, nothing. Just like under the W column. Finish the job, Jets. Finish it. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll come back here, Overreaction Monday, before we get to the news update and Billy Gardell and your phone calls here on this Monday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Hey, everybody. The Rich Eisen Show store is open. Go to RichEisenStore.com. Be the first on your block with one of these babies. T-shirts, both long and, of course, short sleeve in white or heather gray. We've got hats. Hats, people. And, of course, start your day with a cup of joe and a Rich Eisen Show coffee mug. Go to RichEisenStore.com and shop your head off right now. Cyber Monday, everybody. Make us part of your Cyber Monday. We sold out of masks over the weekend, but they're back in stock.
Still didn't get one.
I mean, we're just getting. I mean,
I'm trying to be safe over here. You know?
Wow.
Did you see my comment to your Instagram post?
I saw it.
No.
When you posted the picture with the mask,
right.
On game day morning,
right?
I go. TJ still wants to know if he can get a discount for a mask.
Yeah, I didn't see that because I was too busy looking at my own wife's comment about it, wondering what show are you on. Because it said Rich Eisen Show on the mask.
She
does not. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show. RichEisenStore.com to get all the material here on Cyber Monday. Great deals on Rich Eisen Show gear. Susie's not a big fan of me wearing my own gear. around.
Right.
She doesn't like branding?
No, she understands branding very well.
She does.
Just like, you know, hey, everybody.
I mean, you got a brand.
If not you, then who?
And if not now, when?
When?
Come on, baby.
I mean,
I'd wear one.
Is that how I should say it to my wife?
I mean, the Rich Eisen mug at the house.
No, she thinks it's just like, she doesn't want me walking. Hi, I'm Rich
Eisen. Yeah, she doesn't want you doing it like on airplanes or at the airport.
That's correct.
Right.
But that's, you know, pre-pandemic when the best branding gets done, right?
I mean.
Exactly.
Okay. Someone's got to do
biggest
it.
Biggest audience.
Let's get to this frolic, this jaunt that we do every Monday, Overreaction Monday right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Get to it, please.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
Okay, maybe this is just me having this reaction, but we've talked about it before. Like, what we're seeing with Patrick Mahomes is, like, you know, kind of next level, almost like Jordan-esque. So my overreaction here is Trubisky over Mahomes is worse than Sam Bowie over Michael Jordan.
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
Ooh.
Sam Bowie was a good college player, though, right?
He was good.
I think this might wind up being worse.
It's too early.
Well, I mean, honestly, though, hold on a second. Remember from The Last Dance, this is a good one.
Yeah.
From The Last Dance, they already had Drexler, right? Which is what you know Jordan held against Clyde the rest of their days of going against Portland. So they made this decision. It's not like they needed someone like Jordan and went with somebody else from Jordan's position. Here, they needed a quarterback and made the evaluation at the position that is so far off. And unfortunately for Mitchell, This weekend, Mahomes did what he did after Watson has been doing what he's been doing without DeAndre Hopkins and nobody else really. I mean, what you know what Watson's doing right now is playing Crennel into the full-time job. They're over 500 since firing Bob.
Yeah.
So
I have Watson in fantasy. He's been phenomenal.
So that's what makes it worse is there's two guys that make it worse for Trubisky, but one of them is Mahomes, who is becoming, you know, legendary already at age 25. And they traded up to get him. I mean, they traded up a spot to get him. They actually gave up capital to go get him. So I'll say this is worse and not an overreaction.
Right.
I mean, at least Portland still had Clyde, right?
Good one,
Chris. Bears have.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, well, they brought in Nick Foles.
They made the wrong evaluation as to, you know, we already have Clyde. We don't need somebody who plays a similar position, and even though
it's somewhat forgivable, though.
But this is the, you know, what else you got over there, Chris?
Okay, so Daniel Jones had a hamstring injury yesterday. Looks like he's going to miss some game action. Giants currently in first place in the NFC East.
Yes.
It's going to be Colt McCoy.
That's true.
To lead the Giants to the NFC East title.
Yeah. Which is, by the way, the most NFC East 2020 thing is that Colt McCoy could lead the Giants to a championship over Washington football team. I mean, with all due respect, this is not what you see coming. He can do it. He can give you four good games.
Bring back Eli.
Here we go, man.
Here we go.
I think this is wonderful. Yeah. Honestly, I had no idea who the backup for the New York Giants was until he came in.
I also didn't.
Are you kidding me? It's Colt McCoy? So right now, it's the Colt McCoy-led Giants tied with a team with no nickname that McCoy used to play for.
Former team.
At the top of the division. What else you got over there?
That's amazing. Okay. They did get a win yesterday against your Jets, Rich. But it was with Ryan Fitzpatrick after Tua came up with a hand injury in practice.
They should go back to Fitz?
Dolphins went to Tua too soon.
Oh, that's an overreaction. I won't hear it. I won't hear of it.
Went to Tua too
soon. I won't hear of it. You know how I feel about Tua, the Tua train. They got to get him back in there. Get him back in there and see what they could do. If he could do it, I know what Denver made him look like, but don't forget what he looked like against Arizona, for crying out loud. Come on now. It's not all going to be peaches and cream, man. So this is what I will say. Get him back in there against Cincinnati and see how it goes before Kansas City, and let's see how it goes.
Get right game?
Yeah. I won't say that yet, but that is, okay. I'm hearing a lot about that. Yeah. I'll say that's an overreaction.
All right, we just mentioned Deshaun Watson. He has been awesome this year. Guys, Texans? Not dead yet?
No, they're forget it. They're finished. I don't want to hear it. Hey, I'm already saying the Lions are out of it in the NFC at 4-7. They're 4-7. They're done. 9-7 might not make a the playoffs as a seventh seed in the AFC this year. Although the Raiders looked terrible yesterday. Terrible. Where the hell did that come from? Derek Carr looked amazing. You didn't miss any throws against Kansas City that made Brady look like that in the first quarter yesterday. How the hell did the Raiders look like that against Atlanta? Carr was a turnover machine, and I kept saying the thing that he's been so great is he bought into the Raiders and what Gruden's been selling, and he's been so efficient. So I'll say the Texans, even if they win out at 9-7, I don't think that that's going to be good enough. So that's what I'll say. But I enjoy watching them play. J.J. Watt with a pick six, Romeo Crennel. I mean, they're partying like it's 2016 all over again, but Deshaun Watson's their quarterback instead of Matt Schaub. What else you got over there, Chris?
Okay, he ran wild in Indianapolis on Sunday. Derrick Henry, Offensive Player of the Year. Oh,
Lock that in. And then you could start talking about getting some MVP votes. Somebody's going to say that. It just depends on if the Titans wind up, say, 13-3, 12-4. I mean, he is a tour de force. He's not just a tour de force. He is a culture changer. He's a leader. I don't know how vocal he is in the locker room, but the way he plays, now A.J. Brown is playing like that at the wide receiver position. They are physical. Their coach is physical. They are an extension of what Vrabel is doing. They're back to what they were like at the end of the year last year and at the beginning of this season. They've got their sea legs, man. I know the Colts were all banged up, but there were business decisions being made in the second quarter of that game. Derrick Henry had a first quarter and a first half like Tyreek Hill had for the Chiefs. You're going to hear MVP talk for him. So I'll just say and leave it at that's not an overreaction. See if we could sneak one more in here.
Think about this yesterday, though, real quick. The rushing record, receiving record, and single game pass record all legitimately at one point yesterday had a shot to go down.
Right.
Crazy. Rams, Rich. Laid an egg yesterday out here in L.A. Too inconsistent for a deep playoff run.
I disagree. I just disagree. The 49ers are one of those division rivalry games. I'll just chalk it up to they are inconsistent, and it is a little bit frustrating. But I still think that the Rams are a team that you don't want to see come January. And I think they can make a deep playoff run. That number 99 is a monster. He is a monster, and that's the team. Goff has just got to take care of the football. Richard Sherman made his presence known right off the bat. So I'm still a believer in the Rams. I'm not going to jump off the Rams bandwagon yet. Okay. But I did also say that the 49ers were not dead yet, and that was my fourth down hot take last week. And you know, if they keep doing this, if they go and they beat Buffalo in Week 13, which is entirely possible.
In Arizona,
where we know Buffalo had a shot to win, if not for the Hail Murray. They're back. They probably didn't think they'd go back to Arizona this year, but they'll be back there. That if they win that, they'll be 6-6, and then all of a sudden, hey, Kittle, are you okay? Jimmy G, you okay? See what happens. That's Overreaction Monday here. 844-204-RICH. Your phone calls. We'll take one from the great Billy Gardell from Bob Hart's Abishola. He's a diehard Steelers fan. We've always had great conversations when he stopped by, and he will stop by in hour number 3. And Chris Brockman's news update and your calls still to come. Derrick Henry, somebody's going to vote for him for MVP. But I know that they, offensive rookie of the year. I mean, offensive player of the year.
It's like the non-quarterback award.
Pretty much.
Like last year, Michael Thomas won.
You know, and CJ2K has won that award, too, when he ran for 2000.
Todd Gurley, I think, won.
Again, it's a spot for, because the MVP is such a quarterback-driven award. But Derrick Henry is closing games. And when the offense is inconsistent or making mistakes or the defense is having trouble stopping the opponents, Derrick Henry's gotten his teams right. He's gotten his team right. In that Ravens game, that thing was pretty much toast. And then A.J. Brown made a physical play to get in the end zone, and then Derrick Henry took it over from there in a walk-off in overtime. By the way, that Saturday before that game was the last time the Ravens practiced. Oof. And there looks like they're going to have to play tomorrow night.
I did have one more Eagles one that we can hit on next hour.
Okay. That's for tonight's game, which we'll have to hit on as well.
Yeah.
Pretty big game tonight, brother.
Pretty big game tonight for lots of reasons.
Okay, so Billy Gardell will be joining us. You should, too, at 844-204-RICH for our final hour here on Peacock, NBC Sports on Peacock. We'll talk Steelers football with Billy Gardell and have some laughs and get you a news update on all the injured players set for tonight as well. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.